Welcome to MedTech Speed to Data, a KeyTech podcast. I'm your host, Andy Rogers, VP of Business Development at KeyTech. Each month, me and a KeyTecher are going to interview a MedTech leader and talk to them about the critical data-driven decisions they make in their programs. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to MedTech Speed to Data. I'm your host, Andy Rogers, the often imitated, never duplicated Speed to Data. Today, we have our guest, Ray Kozakowski. Ray is the Chief Product Officer. I thought you were the Chief Technology Officer. You're the Chief Product Officer at Pictor Labs. Ray, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here. And, you know, having listened to some of your other episodes, I have to say, I'm just really excited about the forum and to get to chat with you.
Yeah, no, you're trailblazing here. I took note. You are the first digital product guest we've had. Most other guests have, you know, some sort of physical product, you know, medical device or a diagnostic platform, things like that. So we're trailblazing here. So for our audience, Ray, can you just introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about, you know, your background.
Sure, absolutely. So yeah, so my background, you know, now from a long time ago, I studied engineering, electrical and biomedical engineering. I wasn't real sure what I wanted to do after that. I ended up landing a job at a pharma company, GlaxoSmithKline. There I really learned about kind of the intersection of science and engineering. You know, decided going back to get a PhD was kind of the right move for me. Did that, you know, studied kind of the interaction of light and tissue. So, you know, kind of in vivo diagnostic modalities, microscopy, dabbled a little bit, you know, in kind of drug delivery vehicles, but ended up making my way into the tissue diagnostics business. And, you know, have been in that space now for, gosh, going on almost 13 years, you know, a variety of roles. And, you know, tissue diagnostics and pathology in general is maybe not a space that a lot of your audience is familiar with, because really, you know, when they talk about pathologists, it's really kind of in service of the physician's physician, we like to say, right? So that layer of diagnostic medicine is really underlying the, you know, kind of the end clinician, the oncologist or the endocrinologist or the GI doctor, and helping them, you know, inform decision making. So it's just been, you know, a really fascinating space to grow up in. You know, some big company experience, small company experience, and of course now with you know, with Pictor Labs growing a business, you know, almost from scratch, I would say. So I've been with Pictor Labs almost 2.5 years now. We've grown the business through a couple fundraising rounds, you know, from 5 or so employees to almost 30 employees. We were computing some of these metrics. You know, I think we've grown our data set, you know, by maybe 10 or 15x in just a couple years. So that's been, you know, just a really, really fun journey to build a business, you know, with the executive team was almost from scratch.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. A lot to cover there. So let's just start at the high level. I mean, your background in science and your PhD, and you alluded to, you know, work at global companies in the lab, wet lab, staining tissues on slides, looking at them under microscopes, grossly oversimplifying that. But for our audience, you know, that's it, right? That's pathology. You're studying patient specimens, looking to make a diagnosis.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Right. I mean, and you know, the practice of oncology is firmly founded in this level of diagnostic medicine, right? Every cancer diagnosis virtually, and there'll be something like 2 million of them this year, starts with a biopsy coming out of the body, right? And that tissue through these tests are transformed into data that inform, you know, the diagnosis and also therapeutic options for the patient.
Yeah. Right. So describe Pictor Labs. I know it's the technology came out of UCLA, a lot of tech coming out of that institution. That's great. But you know, it's a digital play, as I was saying at the top. So describe Pictor Labs to the audience.
So Pictor Labs, you know, our mission is to really transform histopathology through the use of AI-powered virtual staining, what is what we call it. And, you know, simply put, you can think about this kind of like the analogy of, you know, radiology going fully digital, right? It used to be that when an X-ray was taken, there was an actual reaction on an X-ray plate, right? And that was exposed and then read by, you know, by a radiologist. And today, you know, that's a very, I would imagine nobody in the U.S. is reading anything except, you know, digital radiology, and it's captured completely digitally. We want to do the same thing for histopathology. Histopathology has traditionally been a chemistry-based testing paradigm. We want to take the tissue, and instead of applying wet chemistry to it, we apply AI algorithms based on the underlying signature on that piece of tissue. And so simply put, what that means is you can do more with less. From a single patient sample, you're no longer limited to only running one chemical-based test. You can run 10, 20, 30 AI-based tests on the same thing. I also think about it a little bit like the transition in molecular and going from PCR-based testing to sequencing-based testing, right? So PCR-based test is sample in, result out. A sequencing-based test is sample in, data out, right? And then it relies on the bioinformatics on the back end to develop actually the results. And it could be multiple results, right? From a sequencing-based test, it's the same idea here, right? We're taking a piece of patient tissue, we're generating data from it, and then the AI algorithms actually generate the test results.
Okay. Yep. Great explanation. And so just want to, you know, help us understand, us the being the audience, understand a little bit about how that actually like happens. You know, to a lot of people, AI is just sort of this abstract notion. Let me open up OpenAI and use ChatGPT. So my understanding, and we talked a little bit about this when you were out in Baltimore before, but you know, you're training the algorithm with known stained tissues, right? And, you know, just a boatload of, you know, 15x the data you had 2 years ago, right? And is it as simple as that? You just have enough images you can mine for a known sort of raw tissue, and then you spit out the results, as simple as that?
Well, I wish it was as simple as that. For sure I do. But yes, in its essence, what we're doing is we're teaching AI algorithms the relationship between the validated test result and the underlying signature from that unstained piece of tissue, right? And then, you know, of course, it is about just building a large data set to train on, but there's also, you know, a lot of nuance in the design of that data set, right? And making sure it's fit for purpose in the particular disease areas, right, that you want to work in, whether that's, you know, lung cancer, breast cancer, you know, has it seen the diversity of human disease in that training data set to really make sure that it generalizes, you know, accurately and robustly when it's deployed for use. So that's consideration. And then, you know, we also have brilliant, you know, AI scientists on the team that can think very creatively about how to design the algorithm itself, the physical architecture, right, of the machine learning algorithm, to really help it focus on the right features of disease to learn from and to present to the clinician on the back end.
Got it. Yeah. So let's talk then about the product. You know, your chief product officer, describe it. Like, how is it deployed? Like, who's the buyer and how is it used? I mean, we can talk about an algorithm all day, but like, let's put a bundle around the product.
That's absolutely right. So, you know, an algorithm in isolation is really nothing more than a science experiment, right? I mean, you can generate some data, write a couple nice papers from it, and that's great. But really, you know, how do you get this into customers' hands? And I think that's what's really, really cool and transformational, you know, on the business side of what we're doing is that we've, you know, taken a traditional chemistry and reagent based business and taken it fully digital, right? So, you know, we deliver these algorithms and the ability for customers to use them on, you know, a web-based digital pathology platform. So it is really as simple as them in their lab scanning an unstained piece of tissue. It gets uploaded through a web-based portal, and within minutes, they can see test results, right? Because the AI algorithms are computing natively in the cloud. So what that means is that, you know, we can have unprecedented ability to scale up our capabilities, as well as customers have the ability to scale up. So they don't have to worry about ordering more reagent kits, keeping them in a refrigerator, having, you know, enough capital equipment in the lab to support the test menu that they might want to run. So we're really, really excited about that portion of it.
And for our audience, so I assume this is RUO and for research, right? And is ultimately the goal to go clinical?
The goal is absolutely to ultimately go clinical. What we've learned along the way, right, is that there's a really, really robust, maybe not surprisingly to the audience, cancer research market, right? Both at academic medical centers and at pharma companies. So, in understanding the underlying biology of disease, right, we've seen a lot of early traction in that research space, and actually in particular complementing technologies like, you know, in the spatial biology space. So looking at, spatial distribution of RNA targets and utilizing virtual staining to add, let's say, context of where different types of immune cells are present or the boundaries of a tumor are present as well on top of that RNA data.
Got it. Yeah, you mentioned university affiliations. I know we have a large audience because KeyTech's based in Baltimore, that you're partnered with University of Maryland. Can you talk a little bit about that partnership?
Yeah, I would love to. So Dr. Michael Callen in the Department of Pathology there was really, you know, an early adopter and an early champion of this technology. And he really came to us, you know, with a clinician's perspective on what the opportunity is here. He's a hematopathologist, and, you know, diagnosing lymphoma or leukemia can be very, very complex. It's a very nuanced disease. And so, you know, in his routine day-to-day work, he may be looking at, you know, easily 15, 20 test results on a single case just to drive conclusively to what is the subtype of lymphoma that I'm looking at. And then after that, needing to run additional molecular tests, you know, just to decide, okay, what are the treatment options here? And so, you know, you have both the challenge of managing, a complex workflow in the lab. You have the complexity of making sense of all of those test results spread over, you know, weeks or maybe even a month to fully understand that disease. And then you have the challenge of, is there enough tissue from the patient to run all the tests that I would run to help drive, you know, towards a diagnostic decision? So he saw the opportunity there. And we've been, you know, partnered with that department for a while now, exchanging both data, coming to us, right, to help train algorithms, and then being able to get feedback from pathologists, working in that department. So running blinded comparative studies between, you know, the gold standard test and our AI-based test, as well as we've just actually received an innovation grant to try and deploy, you know, our technology side by side with their existing workflows to look at some of that, you know, the value on the lab workflow side and the health economics side.
Yeah, just quick question on the value, right? So can you describe how long does it take to do traditional, you know, histopathology for, you know, standard screen versus, you know, the approach at Pictor?
Great question. Yeah. So traditionally tissue diagnostics assays, you know, take from a few hours to overnight per result. And typically they're ordered sequentially. Right. So it may be that on day one, a pathologist reviews their first test and then they say, you know what, there's three or four more I might need to inform my decision. So you're talking about maybe a couple more days there. And then they're going to say, yeah. And based off of those results, I need to see a few more. So now, you know, this is probably evolving over a week, you know, or multiple weeks if they need to send out for that test. With this paradigm, you know, you're talking 10 minutes, 15 minutes to have the full menu of results that you rendered. And so now at a click of a button, a pathologist starts with the first test that they want to see and then can follow their decision tree digitally, right, down through the different tests that they want to see to arrive at that conclusion. You know, and we think that can be really, really transformational for patients directly because, you know, I want to say I've recently read a statistic that it's something like maybe 40 days for a new cancer patient to go from test result to first line therapy. So to be able to close that gap, you know, I think is really why we're here and why we come to work every day.
Yeah, so much value. I mean, it's just speed. It's speed to results, speed to therapy, speed to data, you know, go figure. So next segment here, Ray, let's jump into it. You know, our audience is full of entrepreneurs, intrapreneurs, corporate types, people like, you know, my mom just listening. Hi, mom. So what data, let's talk about the data, early, current, and in the future for you, Ray. So, you know, you mentioned you worked at a global company. Like, what was it about this Pictor Labs and the data that you were seeing? Because I know you were getting into the weeds, I imagine, that convinced you, I'm going to, you know, pursue this opportunity with Pictor Labs.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, having been in the tissue diagnostic space for a while, you know, I've seen a number of these alternative technologies kind of come and go along the way. You know, and a lot of things where there was data to get a publication out of it to say, hey, you know, we can show some concordance of test results. But typically when you ask that next level question to a pathologist of, hey, but would you adopt this in your practice? Why or why not? They would typically say no. And you know, Ray, let me tell you why. It's quite risky. It looks different to me. You know, I understand maybe you can pull out the same signature, but, you know, am I going to have to retrain my staff on it? And this is really the only one along the way that I've come across where if you put these results blinded in front of a pathologist or even side by side between a traditional test result and a virtual result, they honestly cannot tell the difference. Right? It's a coin flip. So, you know, it's amazing to think that AI technology has come that far, right? To be able to render things down to the cellular and the subcellular level and to understand biology that deeply. So I think that's one very early piece of data, but I would say generally, you know, that technology proof, but also early evidence that you found kind of a product market fit is pretty important. And so that's what I was honestly brought on to do, right? Kind of one of my key early roles was, hey, we've got good technology proof here. Let's figure out, you know, the right early place to deploy this. Coming in, you know, again, I talked about doing blinded tests side by side. We sort of assumed, hey, this is a like for like replacement of the gold standard. But where we got early traction actually wasn't necessarily as a replacement, but a complement to other kinds of tests. So I talked about utilizing it in spatial biology. Well, a challenge with, you know, interrogating RNA targets is that you often can't also run traditional protein-based tests or staining-based tests as well. So with virtual staining, we're actually able to complement those RNA-based tests with a, you know, let's say a pseudo protein-based readout or a pseudo staining result that is perfectly fit for purpose in those workflows. So it's simply not a question of one or the other.
Got it. One question I have, and I'm sure our audience is wondering, is, you know, you're collecting data from patients that you're using to inform an algorithm. You know, that's, you know, not rocket science, but how are you then translating this product that you're collecting all this data and then selling it to other people that might be competing with each other, right? And how do you handle, you know, the idea of sharing data that you're trying to collect? You know, it's the reason why a lot of companies are only using like ChatGPT, you know, for peripheral sort of email review or things like that, because they don't want to share client confidential information. How do you get over that? Because I think that's a really important element of this business. And then as you look to scale.
It is. Yeah. And so, you know, I should clarify, you know, while we are using patient derived tissue samples, you know, they are completely de-identified. Right. So there's no protected health information associated with them. They're also fully consented for research use. Right. So I should just make those couple of clarifying statements. But you bring up a great point about, you know, client confidential information. Right. And, you know, the answer is it depends. Right. So we have some customers that we serve that maybe want, you know, a custom biomarker developed, you know, based off of their data. And so that's data that we have to kind of ring fence and protect for that engagement and deliver kind of a custom biomarker solution for them. But honestly, you know, I think we've been able to tell a compelling enough story about the downstream value of having these virtual biomarkers and these virtual stains that, you know, our customers see the value of sharing their data, right? Of using their data to actually help the models generalize with the understanding that other people are sharing data into this kind of, you know, consortium, right? Of data that we're using to train the models. So I think that's honestly how we've been able to navigate it successfully.
Got it. Great. So let's look, Ray. I know you've placed the product at a few, you know, sites. We talked about University of Maryland and others. And I know you're wearing scientific hats as well as this product hat. So, you know, as you look to the future, you know, what data are you trying to collect or look for to help advance this product and get to market successfully?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple different dimensions there. I think, you know, when you think about the breadth of particular of the test menu in tissue diagnostics, plus the diversity of disease, we know we need several more orders of magnitude data to really fully cover the hundreds of tissue based tests, right? So I think that's one thing that we're figuring up how to scale up and get to kind of foundational models that we can then easily fine tune into different test results. So that's one piece of it. I think but really where we're focused in the near term is in evidence generation, right? Because we also need strong data on that side to show our customers and the research space, hey, you know, here's how you can actually expect this virtual stain or this virtual biomarker to perform, right? You know, in your application. And then of course to show regulators as well, right? Thinking about the clinical path, you know, we know this is a novel device, and that the FDA is just learning, right, how best to kind of regulate AI and machine learning based tests. So those are our two main areas.
Okay, that's super helpful. So a couple other questions just related to go to market, if I may. So, you know, what are the requirements of your customers? You know, what equipment do they need? You know, do they just need a standard microscope and then they just manually load slides? Do they need some sort of automated slide imager? Just, you know, what platforms are you launching your product on?
It honestly can be as simple, right, as a fluorescence microscope that's in the right configuration, so has, you know, appropriate filter sets. We find that, you know, most customers are interested in doing this at some sort of scale, so having kind of an automated digital pathology solution typically, you know, pairs nicely with this. But we've shown, you know, good compatibility with the major digital pathology, you know, scanner manufacturers. So Akoya, Hamamatsu, Zeiss, 3D Histech. We try to stay platform agnostic. And you know, that's part of deploying with a customer, right, is exchanging some samples to show them, hey, this can work on your samples. Hey, here's how we recommend configuring your hardware. You know, we just want to remove as many barriers to entry as we can, right? To getting customers trying this, looking at, you know, results side by side and seeing the value for themselves.
All right, Ray, great interview so far. Let's head into the final round, the lightning round here. I do have a quick question for you that wasn't on the script. So you've alluded to spatial biology being your product being a great partner or a complement to these spatial biology platforms. Can you just describe a little bit more what that actually means? You know, the spatial biology platforms Keytech's familiar with, you know, fancy optics, fancy reagents, fancy slide handling. And these are standalone products. So just what is it that your product is complementing?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think that, you know, when you think about spatial biology, it's high content, right? It's really designed to give you kind of everything all at once with spatial context of hundreds, thousands of markers, right? The trade-off there is that can be a very, very laborious, costly workflow, right? So upstream, you know, we've identified value in helping customers in a non-destructive way qualify tissue samples for use in a spatial biology run. So for example, you know, if a customer wants to analyze a particular type of tumor, they want to select samples that actually have the tumor, have tumor sufficiency, and don't have too much necrosis, let's say, right? When they're actually in a spatial biology run, in some cases, you may want to analyze an entire piece of tissue, but in other cases, you may want to downselect certain regions to do differential analysis. So we've actually shown that you can embed virtual staining in that portion of the region of interest selection and use, you know, virtual stains down to the single cell level to pick out malignant cells in, you know, in a background of immune cells. Additionally, complementing the data analysis, right, on the back end, using it either as input to, let's say, image analysis algorithms to annotate particular regions or adding complementary information, let's say, about protein expression if, you know, your targets in spatial biology were just RNA or DNA targets.
Got it. So really just it helps accelerate getting the most critical data that platform is trying to collect.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. Very powerful. Okay. So Ray, let's another kind of lightning round question for you. So are you putting all these standards out of business in 10 years? I have to ask. Or is it really just like anything else accelerating and improving the data analytics on them?
Yeah. So the answer is no. We will definitely not in 10 years be putting, you know, putting stainer manufacturers out of business. You know, what we hope is that this is a, you know, a complementary workflow, right, in the lab. Again, since you don't need additional capital equipment, there's no need to do away with your traditional stains that you run in-house. But, you know, maybe with this technology, it's an opportunity to bring a test in-house that you normally would have to send out for, right? It's also an opportunity to do novel things, right? So for instance, multiplex results and look at, you know, maybe the co-expression of two markers within the same cell, right, or within the same tissue section. So we really think, you know, over that time horizon, it's going to be complementary. You know, do I hope that this is actually the direction that we're headed? Yes. I mean, I absolutely hope that in the long term. But again, drawing the analogy to kind of molecular testing, right? I mean, sequencing-based testing and PCR-based testing today, you know, sit side by side each other in the lab, yeah, and have different applications.
All right, great response, Ray. Makes total sense. There's clearly a need. You mentioned the 40 days from test to therapy. I mean, just that alone is worth, you know, obviously accelerating these various tests. So, and all this research really that's informing all the therapies and whatnot. So, all right, let's switch gears a little bit, Ray. For our product manager audience, what advice would you have for a product manager that's launching a software product based on what you've learned at Pictor Labs over the last year or two?
Yep. So two pieces of advice is, you know, you have to be intentional in focusing, right? And so, you know, coming from a big company to a small company, I guess, you know, my incoming bias was that it would be a little bit easier to focus because there would be kind of less opportunities, less targets, you know, a smaller portfolio of things to manage. And it's actually been the opposite, right? You know, on any given, you know, inbound leads are coming in so rapidly and almost everybody wants some custom tweak, you know, on kind of our core offering. You have to be really, really ruthless in seeing through all of those disparate things and finding focus in that and finding commonality on that. On the other hand, you have to also be open to a pivot or two. Like I mentioned, we came in with some incoming assumptions about, hey, this is just a like-to-like replacement for testing. And in fact, we had to kind of pivot with our first offerings to say, no, actually, these are complementary to traditional-based testing. So I know those kind of sound like conflicting pieces of advice. But yeah, it's more about, you know, if you think you have 25 priorities, you probably have no priorities. And, you know, you've got to be able to distill that down to the 3 to 5 things to work on and continually check in with the market and with your customers to make sure that those are the right, most impactful things.
You know, I think also for our audience, you know, we have a lot of, I said entrepreneurs, people at global companies, love doing early research, you know, but having that nice sort of safety blanket, safety net, if you will, of the corporate life. So I know that you left that environment for the startup life. So I guess, how's it been and what advice do you have for folks that might be considering leaving the corporate world to jump into the high-flying startup world?
It's been a blast, right? Honestly. And I think it, you know, I think it depends on who you are, right? Like you sort of internally, whether making that jump is a good fit, you know, and for me, it really came down to two things, right? Is first and foremost, you know, I love learning, right? As kind of part of my job, my career, you know, prior to that. And, you know, what was great about coming to such an early startup is I just knew that every day I was going to be learning something different. Every day I was going to be challenged to have to do something that I've never done before. And so, you know, if learning and rapid learning is kind of part of the journey you're on, I would recommend it. You know, also a willingness to just kind of roll up your sleeves and do whatever it takes, not be sort of narrowly defined by a particular role. I think if you have those two traits, you know, making the jump is an invaluable experience for anybody.
Yeah, I'd say one other upper leg I think you have is you really know this histopathology market really well. And I'm sure that helped give you the confidence to make this change. So maybe some advice would be to kind of stay in the market you know and not jump to, you know, a completely different product category, something like that. Obviously, that would be super stressful.
Yeah. I think that you're absolutely right. That's a good insight. That probably would have presented some other challenges as well. You know, I think, again, on the other hand, I think it's more about mindset than skill set is still my hypothesis, though.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, and like I said, bringing the right mindset in, right? So you know, being, you know, highly engaged in the learning journey, right, of your career, as well as kind of, you know, being just willing to do whatever it takes, right, to help the company be successful.
Well, Ray, it sounds like you're on your way. So, you know, best of luck as you launch further generations, iterations of the product. And, you know, hope to see you out here in Maryland here in a couple of weeks, either at University of Maryland or at the USCAP event. I know you mentioned you might be there. And
we will be there. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So if for our Maryland audience, go to the convention center the last week of March, USCAP. So do you want to, what is that acronym?
Yeah, so it's the United States and Canadian Association of Pathologists, and wow, yeah, That was the toughest on the spot question, actually. But going back to our collaboration with Maryland, one of our collaborators is sharing a poster there. So join us at USCAP 24 and see virtual staining for yourself.
Nice. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in again. Andy Rogers, MedTech Speed to Data. Ray, thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
All right. Till next time, everybody. See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to MedTech Speed to Data, a KeyTech podcast. Join us each month for more ways to get the right data faster to inform critical decisions. Find additional resources on our website, keytechinc.com. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And please leave a review on iTunes whenever you listen. Thanks.